On a day shattered by political violence, from Fox News Radio, I'm Dana Perino.
And I'm Chris Steierwalt.
And this is Perino and Steierwalt. I'll tell you what.
Tell you what.
Sad day.
Well, a glad day in the sense that none of the intended victims were killed, and people acted bravely. People did the right things. So it's a sad moment, but it's a happy day that it did not turn out the way that it might have.
Describe for us. You live in Alexandria, mm-hmm. Virginia. So where was this taking? I know that I kind of have an idea. That's not where the teams used to practice. But set the stage for us. Where was this?
This is in between essentially a Bohemian, bourgeois Bohemian neighborhood of called Del Rey, which is craftsman houses that sell for way too much.
Yeah, very charming.
Money. Yes, very charming. If you are going to a same-sex wedding that is pet inclusive, you might be in Del Rey.
All right.
And that's on one side. And then on the other side is Route 1, Jefferson Davis Highway, which is a big main artery.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in this space. I go by there multiple times a week. This always sounds stupid to say. It's the last place, because what's the first place you'd expect? But it's the last place that you would have this in mind. It seems like you're
right
in regular suburban America.
So as of this recording, mm-hmm. Representative Steve Scalise is in critical condition following surgery. He was hit in the hip.
Yep.
Their other congressmen were targeted. The shooter missed them.
Right.
He did hit a staffer.
Yep.
A former staffer who
yep.
was there helping. The team get ready because the big baseball game is a charitable, bipartisan, fabulous event, the best event in D.C. every year,
really,
in my
really
opinion.
Really one of the best things that Congress does.
I love it. I used to work for a congressman who was the coach of the team. For the Republicans from 95 to 98, and that was the best event. And, believe it or not, Steny Hoyer was the captain and coach of the Democrats. That's going back a ways.
That's been a minute.
He's been there, right. But everyone loves this event, and it's so bipartisan. And it actually is pretty competitive. That's why they're out there practicing for 2 months leading up to it.
Right. And they play hardball. They do not. This is not a underhand pitch, slow pitch softball game. This is the real stuff, and they take real pride in it. And it's not exactly watching Yadier Molina smoke them out at second base, but they play a respectable game of baseball for some mostly older practitioners.
Guys.
Yeah.
And gals, I guess.
And gals.
So then they play for charity, and it's a lot of fun. So then you had this whole shattering of this event today. Luckily for us, we are courageous and brave as Americans, and the game will go on.
Yeah, and I bet they'll raise more money than ever. And I bet that it will be one of the best attended, most engaged, and mm-hmm. people will respond to it the right way. And mostly, people are responding to this the right way today.
Mostly, but not all, which is, I think, what we should probably spend the majority of our time talking about, because we don't have a lot of detail about the shooter. And obviously, there's lots of news around Fox News on radio, online, and on television screens trying to sort out that story so you get all the details.
Right.
But if we step back, and I was hoping that maybe you could talk a little bit about halftime report today, because I think you captured it. And I also read earlier today, this is before the shooting, Ben Shapiro.
Yeah.
The Ben Shapiro Show wrote a piece about national rage and how it's getting out of control. And then you write today about checking your emotions and checking your reaction to this type of an event. This one to me was, I thought this was quite shattering. I feel like we have crossed some sort of Rubicon.
Well,
I do.
I don't disagree, but cultures do not cross Rubicons all at once.
True.
We splash about on the muddy shore and sometimes retreat. We should remember that Puerto Rican, basically, guerrilla terrorists killed, I forget how many members of Congress in the 1940s. 1952, something like that. We have had, we like to think of American political history as basically beginning after World War II. But if we look further back, bad stuff happens, right? We have, Americans have experienced a lot worse than Twitter trolls. Things have been a lot worse than this in the past, and I have particularly hearkened in the past to the period in the run-up to World War II during the Great Depression when fascism, communism, lots of dangerous isms were isming in the United States, political assassination. I mean, how bad are things in America today? Question mark. I don't know. Are they as bad as they were in 1974? In 1975.
Right. Yeah, President Bush used to talk about that, that when people would ask him, like, how divided America is today and is he worried, he would talk about how when he came out of college in the late 60s, it was like, he's like, that was much worse than what we're dealing with today. Of course, I didn't live through that. But
think about that. Every major American city had burned in riots. JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King assassinated. Political violence. We have, in addition to that, the United States had profligately lied to its citizenry during the Vietnam War. And the president was on the road to impeachment. This is bad, right? Like, this is – in a lot of – if you take a 10-year snapshot of where America was at 1974, 1975, it's really, really bad. And it would only be 10 years after that that we celebrate the summer of the Los Angeles Olympics, the economic turnaround of the country, the new optimism for America, all of this stuff. So I would say on the one hand, we should keep perspective that this is a bad time, but we have had times worse than this before.
Mm-hmm.
All that having been said, as we splash about in the muddy banks of this Rubicon of political violence, I reminded readers today about Bleeding Kansas and what happened in 1856 and the run-up to what would be the Civil War as raids and reprisals from anti-slavery fact, because remember the rule was, and this one of the stupidest things ever, they were going to have a plebiscite in Kansas to decide whether you could own human beings in Kansas. Well, guess what happened? Slavers flocked to the state, but so did abolitionists. And it turned into a real fight real fast. And what set it off was John Brown, who would carry the nickname Pottawatomie Brown for his life. And his sons, four of his sons, I think, in response to the destruction of a couple of abolitionist newspapers and a hotel that was home base for these anti-slavery folks in Lawrence, Kansas, that the slavers went and smashed up. Brown and his boys went and it massacred a bunch of pro-slavery people in Pottawatomie, Kansas. This kicked off 3 months of absolute war, and 30 people at least were killed. And the last act happened when pro-slavery people took 10 men that they took captive on a raid across the Missouri border, took 10 men captive, put them down in the bottom of a valley and killed them. They absolutely executed them. And how did it happen? Both sides thought they were perfectly right. Both sides thought they were perfectly right, and they were fighting over something no less important than whether you could own slaves. The tragedy of the current moment to me is political violence is escalating. It's escalating on college campuses. It's you know, when you see Charles Murray attacked by a mob because he's trying to talk about sociology.
Yep. Well, if you think back to what just happened in Portland 2 weeks ago.
Right. What happened in we see that.
Berkeley.
Berkeley. We see protests that turn into riots. We see fights. We see what happened at Trump rallies inside and outside. We see a condition permitting violence. And part of the problem is that leaders are lying to people. Political spin, pernicious political spin on behalf of the political class in order to excite the most extreme reaction possible. The most donations, the most doors knocked, the most retweets have been casting things in such extreme terms that you would be tempted to forget, especially if you were unwell. And God knows John Brown was unwell. But if you were unwell, you would be tempted to believe that you did not live in a free, peaceful, and prosperous country. You would be tempted to believe that your opponent, and this is really the this is the thing, Dana Perino, that makes me the sickest, saddest, and sorriest. The way in which we treat our political opponents as un-American, unpatriotic, traitorous. We do not treat them as people with whom we disagree. Mm-hmm. I watched them do it to George W. Bush, and they said, oh, he doesn't want it. He's lying to get us into war because he wants the war for oil and profit. And I thought, that's crazy. Maybe you don't think we should invade Iraq, but why are you saying that this guy is basically dispatriotic? And then I watched him do it to Barack Obama. And they said, he's not even born in America. Mm-hmm. He's a secret Muslim, and he's here to destroy America. He's not trying to help America. He's here to destroy America. I thought, you people are sick. And it wasn't just that they disagreed with him. It was that he was wicked. And now we're doing it with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not just a bad president. He is a Russian plant who is here in the United States to bring down the West for Vladimir Putin. It's like, guys, if you keep calling them not just adversaries but enemies, what would you excuse? If you say somebody is committing treason, what kind of permission structure does that create for behavior in dealing with your political rivals?
Right. Well, beyond Trump and Obama, Bush and Clinton and the top guys, what you have immediately when you saw the president's budget that was revealed, or Paul Ryan's tax plan, or the House presenting ideas for how they think the healthcare system could be reformed, it was immediately set upon by the left that it was going to kill people.
Right.
And that it's so preposterous that you sort of blow it off in a way of like, oh, that's just the crazy Democrats. But this seems to me like the hatred is more intense. The way people are communicating with each other and self-reaffirming through social media.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so then like you got the conspiracy thing and then you just want to hear your own side and you get spun up. And I don't know anything in particular about the shooter today beyond which has already been reported.
Right.
I don't know about how he got the gun. Those are all things that we will figure out. But I do remember very much when Brian Ross of ABC News, remember during the Aurora shooting at the movie theater?
Yep.
He immediately says, oh, okay, he was Tea Party guy. It turns out not to be true. But it's like, wow, is that the first thing that you think about?
Right.
Was he with some sort of a political affiliation?
Well, or the most famously, Gabrielle Giffords, who did, who in the end, the person who shot her was obviously unwell. Now, we should stipulate, unwellness is probably a precondition for wanting to commit mass murder.
Right.
Right. Well, people do not say, oh, this would be a good idea.
Well, I saw this guy's friend interviewed today.
Boy, how about that guy?
When he said the shooter was not evil, he was just distraught by politics.
He's just distraught.
I mean, that's impossible for me to reconcile. That's ridiculous.
Does it bear mentioning? Is it worth saying out loud that the people who shoot people are the people responsible for that act? It is not. There is no excuse. John Hinckley. It was not Jodie Foster's fault that John Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And it's not anybody else's fault. But we have seen. Whether it was the shooter in Orlando, we have seen Major Nidal Hassan at Fort Hood, and we have seen, in that case, from Islamists on the internet, we have seen with white supremacists, white nationalists, with Dylan Roof, who slaughtered those people at a church in Charleston, South Carolina. We have seen how when you take unbalanced, unwell, when you take sick people and you plug them into a 24-hour a day, 365-day a year vessel of outrage, vomiting forward, and this an endless supply of bile, and people can plug into this space. You could. Some ideologies are more toxic than others. Militant Islamism that would seek to subjugate people by force into obedience to a religion, or white nationalism that is expressly founded on the idea of purifying America's racial composition, is gets you to violence right away. Right? It gets you. It's not a far leap if you're being recruited as a foot soldier in a war. But when you take somebody who is unwell and you steep them in a toxic stew of political hate, and really, did I ever tell you about what Jim Sims, my great professor at Hampden-Sydney College, asked every freshman class in Western Civ?
No.
Man, he is such a good professor. And he started every term of Western Civ by asking this question, which was, who is responsible – whether he said responsible or not, but basically who brought about the Holocaust? And of course, if you put 18 bright, cocky 18-year-old boys in a room and ask them that question, you'll get a lot of stuff. That was Hitler. Well, really, it was Goebbels because it was the propaganda. Really, it was Goering. Really, it was this. Really, it was FDR because they didn't bomb the train lines. Really, it was, you know, whatever. And he would let everybody go, and they would answer. And then at the end, he would say, Charles Darwin, because if people are animals, then you can kill them. And that harsh, sharp insertion of this arc of humanity, which is you can't kill the children of God, right? It's harder to convince people to kill the children of God, human beings with souls intact, mm-hmm. loved and created by their maker.
Right.
But if they're just another accident of evolution— then you can exterminate them.
And squash it.
And we are dehumanizing each other. We are using this internet machine to dehumanize one another. And we stay in this space and we churn around in all this vitriol and forget that these other people are people too. And these other people are people who want to make America great too. And they want to make things better and they want to help. They're not trying to hurt. They're trying to help. You just disagree with them about how to do it.
Well, what do you think about people like Governor Terry McAuliffe of Virginia, first thing he came out and said, well, you know, I've been calling for it. It goes straight to gun violence. And also he had a verbal faux pas. He said 93 million people die a day.
That would be a lot.
As my husband pointed out to me before I left to come here, 2 people a day die in Chicago from gun violence and they have a total gun ban.
Right. Well, I mean, I should point out, to be fair, that gun control could deal with gun violence in the United States. But you would have to confiscate 310 million, I forget right. how many guns we have now. You have to confiscate all the guns, right?
Right.
You have to send the police door to door and
right.
confiscate all
the guns. It's not happening.
Well, not only is it not happening, but you want to talk about political violence.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. So,
well, and the truth was the only reason that there weren't 25 deaths today was because there were the 2 Capitol Hill police officers there, because Scalise is a part of leadership,
right.
And has that type, and is because he's in leadership, he's afforded that protection. And so even though they were wounded, they still took the shooter down.
Yeah. And the Alexandria Police Department acquitted itself very well also, you know, and there is the thesis about more guns, less crime, or as my old daddy used to say, a well-armed population is a polite population.
Yeah.
But for McAuliffe, in a ham-handed way, and this is the thing, who among us is willing to not. I watched Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi today do a lovely Ashford and Simpson on the floor of the House. He was the best I've ever seen him.
Yep.
And she was gracious and kind and deferential. And it was like, hey, I don't expect you guys to do it like this every day. People have real disagreements. Democrats really believe that without health insurance, more people are going to die earlier. They really do believe that. They hold that belief deeply, that access to health insurance saves lives. Republicans don't think that's true. They think access to care saves lives, and they want to focus the other way. And so then they're going to fight, and they're going to fight about budget. And I expect them to disagree sharply. But I do expect them to reaffirm each other's common humanity and patriotism. These people are here because they love their country. These people are here because they believe this republic is something worth preserving and advancing. And, you know, my country, right or wrong, when right to be kept right and when wrong to be set right. And that's really what they're all there for. And it is too bad, of course, that it takes a tragedy to get everybody to say, yeah, I guess you're a human being.
But do you think that the political left has a responsibility to address the fomenting of anger from that side about President Trump and about the Republicans? I mean, some of the reaction today on the stupid thing called Twitter,
so stupid,
it was so bad. And you had a business called DP Consulting, and I think it's in Virginia, saying that calling for more violence against Republicans.
No, it was not true.
Was it a fake?
I don't know, but that can't be true.
I saw it.
That's not true.
I'll look it up. I'll show you.
You look it up. But
internets, help me out.
Ring. I wrote about today Bernie Sanders made a point about condemning political violence. And I thought, well, duh. Everybody condemns political violence. It doesn't take any special thing. It's not like when this happened, I thought that this Bernie volunteer, that Bernie Sanders was happy that a campaign volunteer had tried to kill a half a dozen members of Congress. I never thought that. And then he came out and said this painfully obvious thing, which is, I condemn political violence. Who in the hell thought you didn't? Condemning political violence is not enough.
Mm-mm.
It is not enough to condemn.
Especially after the fact.
Right. It is not enough to condemn what is so evidently condemnable. What is necessary is to condemn hatred. What is necessary is to condemn hating and the vile hatreds that animate these people. If you think what frustrates me is, yes, the political left, insofar as that there are institutions in that space that have leadership roles, and Senator Sanders is one of those people, and Elizabeth Warren is one of those people. People who are leaders in that movement do have an obligation, a patriotic obligation, to say, cool it with dehumanizing your opponents. And then, you know, who else has an obligation to do that? Conservatives. Conservatives have an obligation to do it too. Don't be cocky. If you're a conservative, don't be cocky. Like, oh yeah, well, look at all the hate speech on the left, and you guys stink so much, and blah, 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 and you're the worst. Because I promise you that the next time that it's somebody from the right side of the aisle, it will come right back around. It will boomerang right back around on you.
Do you think that this I think we talked about this. I don't know. But the studies that have come out, and I think there was one just recently, that shows that people of like mind are starting to live around each other.
Oh, well, yes. There was the great I'm so glad you brought it up.
What was it? Remind me.
So the Pew study.
Pew. Okay.
There's two studies here, but the Pew is the one that their recent work about basically how do you feel about the other person and how many of these, you know, do you have friends who are like this?
Right.
David French wrote very, very beautifully. Not beautifully. He wrote very, I mean, it was nice, David, but he wrote very, very convincingly in a piece where he said, we're not having a civil war. Mm-hmm. But we are going through a national divorce. where like-minded people live amongst themselves. It's sort of that experience where I believe it was Pauline Kael, the critic, who famously remarked about Nixon that he couldn't have won because she didn't know anybody who voted for Richard Nixon. Now, this is funny because she lived in the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And of course she didn't know anybody. The theater critic for The New York Times, of course, did not know anybody who voted for Richard Nixon because nobody in her precinct did. And people in flyover country, ha, 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 we laugh at that because you are so out of touch. Well, we're all Pauline Kael now to a certain extent because we all live in enclaves. Not all of us, but most of us now live in enclaves of politically like-minded people. And we are not exposed to Republicans as Little League coaches or Democrats as volunteer firefighters. We don't see them in that way. And therefore, they're not human beings.
Hmm. Hmm. Because apparently one of his neighbors, the shooter's neighbor, said, I didn't really know him. I never really spoke to him. You know, he was a Democrat. I'm a Republican. We didn't have anything really to talk about.
Right.
And that's fine. I mean, because, you know, in New York City, for example, you live in a lot of people live in apartments. There's several different apartments on one floor. You can go for years and never see any of those people.
Yeah.
It's really kind of strange.
And kind of and medium depressing.
But I just think in some ways this idea that he was disconnected from his family. Apparently, he left his family without any word. They knew he was living in Alexandria, Virginia, but he picked up and left. So he's living this isolated life. And he had had some run-ins with the law. And we guess we'll find out about how he got the weapon. And if there was something missed, then obviously that needs to be addressed. But I just wonder about how sick it is, because nobody's saying he was mentally ill. And I just wonder, how do you get to a point where you think that a way to actually advance some sort of political goal is to leave your family, temporarily reside in Alexandria,
living in your van,
the baseball field for a couple of weeks.
If that's what he was doing. Yeah.
That's what I've heard that reported. But then to want to murder that many people for your political aims, that is terrorism.
Well, yeah. And again, for nothing. John Brown was a terrorist. He was a terrorist to end slavery. And he said at his trial, after he tried to spur a armed revolt of slaves, he said, you know what? If I've got to die under the same oppressive law that oppresses these people and I've advanced this cause, so be it. And he knew what he was doing and he said it was worth it. He was a terrorist. And he was a militant and he was all of that stuff. But people like Frederick Douglass and others said he is a hero. He is a madman, but he is a hero because he confronted this terrible, pernicious evil that kept 4 million men, women, and children in chains in the United States. And this is for nothing, for internet memes, for garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And we have real things that we should talk about in the United States. Entitlement reform, we should talk about. We should talk about trade policy. We should talk about taxes. We should talk about all of those things. But we have all these first world problems. We're so rich. Things are so good. We're so safe.
Mm-hmm.
And killing people over dank internet memes that you saw in the Sanders campaign is not just – it's not just tragic. It's just stupid.
I know.
Woof.
So what do you think will happen from here? I mean, I guess I'm feeling a little cynical that that we won't be right back to arguing about how Republican policies want to kill people by next week or the week after.
I think that.
I hope not. I don't want to be cynical, but I'm pretty depressed.
So, you know, yesterday in Virginia, they had a primary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was watching.
I'm not making any bets on Virginia races with you after the scare, the close call you gave me with Gillespie 3 years ago.
2013, 2012. 2014. Yeah.
But so we had a vote in Virginia. And the Republican Party in Virginia, by the way, dried up and blew away like a milkweed. They didn't show up. There was a 74-point swing from Republican primary participation to Democratic primary participation since 2012. They didn't show up. And as a consequence, a guy who used foul language to describe Ed Gillespie, the eventual winner, a guy who made the centerpiece of the closing part of his campaign, the preservation of Confederate war memorials, the guy who was fired by the Trump campaign for being too radical in his attacks on the establishment, came within a little more than a point of Gillespie, who was the party's Senate nominee in 2014. And that was a moment of pause, because it's sort of like the way that this guy did so well basically is the pond shrank, so he became a bigger fish. And a bunch of these moderate Republican voters – this is my surmise — a bunch of these moderate Republican voters migrated over to the Democratic primary to go vote for their lieutenant governor, Ralph Northam, against Tom Perriello. Now, I bring all of this up because Tom Perriello, one-term congressman, got in basically on a fluke in 08 because the district he represents, which goes from Charlottesville to the North Carolina border, includes a large number of college students and a large number of African-American voters. And it just so happened that 2008 was a magical time to run as a Democrat in that district.
Okay.
And then Robert Hurt came in and, as I wrote, turned him out like Grant turned out Jeff Davis from Richmond.
Great guy, Robert Hurt.
He is a great guy. I love that guy.
Me too.
And he's now – do you know where he is now? Liberty University. He's running – they've got a poli-sci scoop – I don't know. I'll name it wrong.
I didn't know that he went to do that.
He went – so he's running this leadership and political science institute at Liberty. So that's
– that's where Shannon Bream went to college.
Exactly. And it's perfect for Hurt, and it's – and he – Charlie Hurt's brother. Obviously, you know who the normal one is in that circumstance.
Yeah, it's not Charlie.
It ain't Charlie. The nuclear –
but Charlie
option.
Does have great hair.
He has magnificent hair and looks good in a leather vest. But –
whoa.
Yeah, quite.
We'll revisit that next week.
He wears a shirt under it. But so Perriello had Sanders' endorsement. He had Elizabeth Warren's endorsement. He was the activated core act. We remember, we should point this out, just as the Republican base are college-educated white suburbanites, more affluent, the Democratic base, when we talk about the base, are, especially in a state like Virginia, what? African-American voters. Duh. And the Democratic base isn't Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. The Democratic base are African-American – are minority voters and increasingly more affluent college-educated suburbanites. So you – everybody was prepared for this epochal effort by the hard left Democratic Party is going to come in and take out Mr. Moderate Northam, lieutenant governor, served in the Gulf War. When you think of Virginia Democrat, it's exactly what you're thinking about. And a guy who Mark Warner would be like, oh, I like that guy. And Perriello stunk up the joint. He missed by 12 points.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think
it's too left.
Well, number one, the real Democratic base of African American voters are not digging the Bernie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think that moderate Republicans migrated in Virginia. Dave Wasserman said on Twitter, it was very funny. He said, you know what we call moderate Republicans in Virginia? Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
The shift is happening. Mm. And this is, of course, the danger, just as an aside to the aside, this is the danger for Republicans in next year and beyond, which is if these moderate suburbanites, especially women, migrate away from their party and go to the Democrats, it will make the Democrats more moderate. That's for sure. It will also make the Republicans more like the guy who was running against Gillespie. There will be more there will be more pro-Confederate sentiment within the Republican Party if these voters leave.
But it's also could be that Republicans become more attractive to the blue-collar voter. So do those things cancel each other out?
Probably not, in the sense that if what you're tapping into is rage, right? If you are angry.
I hate rage so much. I'm raging against rage.
And this That's very Perino-ish.
I can't stand people that foment this stuff. Like, I like people who can have control of their emotions.
Well, yes, and don't let their emotions dictate their actions in every circumstance. This is what we call civilization.
Or like an adulthood.
Civilization has proven very popular. It allows us to cure polio and not kill each other.
Toddlers have tantrums, and I can't even stand that.
I know. I think that...
Kidding people out there that have children.
Oh,
I love them.
I can't stand that. No, you don't. I love my children. I don't really care about
I'm not even
else's.
For dogs that can't handle their emotions.
Yeah, Jasper always seems like very...
Very regal.
Yes, quite so. I think that the energy... This guy that ran against Gillespie... He wouldn't concede. He said he hated the word unity. The Republicans had
And Perry Yellow said, even though I lost, I'm 100% behind Northam and we're going to win. I mean, that was interesting. That was quick.
Well, yeah.
Talk about reconciling real fast.
Democrats want to win. They want to win. Win, win, win. Republicans?
Well, and that's the only race going this year because New Jersey race is not going to be a thing.
That is right. Chris Christie's poor.
So if you think about what's happening next Tuesday in the special election in Georgia, and that's the most expensive House race in history.
Is it possible that
this upcoming Virginia race in 2017 will be the most expensive gubernatorial race ever?
I don't think.
That could be.
I don't think Gillespie's going to be able to raise that much money.
How do you know?
Because he's... I don't want to do this again.
We should full disclosure for our friends out there listening. Gillespie is like a brother to me, so I am not neutral on him.
I don't want to be the one who says this, but I will be the one...
Don't say it.
Then I will be the one who says that his odds against Northam are very long in what promises to be a very bad year for Republicans.
It's a tough year.
That's not to say that it can't be done, and it's not to say that he can't make it better, and it's not to say that all of those things aren't true, but right now I'm saying he's going to have a hard time raising money because people are going to say that now is not the time. But if you would have drawn Perriello, maybe. But the trend in John Ossoff, who is the Democratic...
Is it Ossoff or Ossam?
Ossoff or
Ossam. Kidding.
Don't mess me up. He has run basically as a moderate Republican. He has run as somebody who is strong national security, against government waste, for balancing budgets, for fiscal restraint. And he's still getting all the money from the radical because they just want to win. They are desperate for a win. And they know if they can get one in Georgia. Look, if Democrats can win Virginia, they can win Georgia. They can start to demonstrate this stuff. The Republicans will go run and hide. And you will see that more than anything else in the Virginia vote, more than anything else, the part that matters is how terrible Republican turnout was.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to the Democrats?
Yeah, I read something. It said that the Democrats had over 500,000 people show up to vote and Republicans were about 350,000 on a primary day. That's a lot of ground to make up over a summer.
It was a gap of 150,000 votes. And right. So that tells me that there is, at best for Republicans, a temporary enthusiasm gap and their voters are staying home. At worst, their voters are migrating to the Democratic Party and voting for moderate Democrats. And if the Democrats can find some moderate candidates to put in front of them, then that kind of stuff starts happening.
So the pull to the left for Democrats nationally.
Right.
And that pent-up demand of progressives, like pull left, that is not actually as effective in Virginia yet? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is, well, yes, and.
That's what you're saying.
yes, and. What I'm saying is this Bernie Brodom, this rage, this choking rage that inspires the dank memes, that inspires the dehumanizing of Trump supporters, that inspires all of this Howard Beale garbage that is out there. It doesn't add up to much. When you get right down to it, these people I'll put it to you this way. I went to a high school where I graduated with 53 people, I think, was my graduating class. So when I went to a college that had 1,001 people in it, I thought I was at a really big place. I did not know the first names of all of the people in my class. I thought it was really, really big. And then I went to a University of Tennessee football game. And there were 100,000 people at Neyland Stadium. And I said, oh, I see. When you're in the social media universe, it feels a lot. I have 1,000 Facebook friends. I have this many. I have all. Look at all these people. And all these people are talking. And we're in the space. And it feels like you're normal. It feels like the stuff that you're talking about, because you're talking about octopi, people who have Congress with octopuses, or whatever weird thing that you are into. There's hundreds of people, or thousands of people, or 10,000 people who are in there with you, and you're dehumanizing politicians, and you're calling for armed revolt, and you're doing all this stuff, and it seems like there's a lot of people. And then you walk into Neyland Stadium. Then you go to the ballot box. And all of the noise that you were making online is very effective when it comes to raising money and creating intensity and getting attention and finding volunteers. But you're in the show now. And you can't beat you cannot beat public sentiment arranged in large form. And I just don't think that the real Democratic base, especially African-American voters, especially Hispanic voters, want to embrace democratic socialism, hardcore, green, angry left populism. I just don't think that's where they are.
Yeah, I think so too, especially after today. I think it was a real wake-up call in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Well, do you want your trivia?
I do want my trivia.
Okay. Question number one, because today was also a
flag
celebration
day.
Of it is Flag Day. That's also it's also President Trump's birthday. Turned 71 years old today.
True fact.
So the next presidential birthday on the calendar is July 4th, 1872. Which president was born on that date?
Born on the 4th of July in 1872. What year did you say?
1872.
Can I say Woodrow Wilson?
You could, but
I would be wrong. Who is it?
Calvin Coolidge.
I wanted to say Coolidge. It was because that's what my heart wanted it to be, because he is, I think, probably the best president of the 20th century.
The Silent Cal.
And I wanted to say that, but and Bonewold keeps getting me with these, like the one about I didn't know that he would serve on the city council in Boston or whatever.
Okay. Did you know that on the Super Mexican podcast last week, they talked about you?
What did they say?
There was a question about James Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
And Super Mexican was mad at Matt because he said that James Buchanan was something that I won't say on our podcast. And then anyway, there's a whole thing about why they call it Kings County, and then they changed it to Martha King County. Anyway, it's pretty interesting.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, and Super Mexican said, don't make me get Star Walt on here to clarify.
Well, obviously not being willing to own my
Do you know,
hunch.
Like, there's, like, a rumor about Buchanan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Is it true or not?
I mean, whatever.
Oh, I don't care. I mean, I don't care.
He rolled however he rolled. I can say this. Horrible president.
Yeah, I knew that you would say that.
However he liked to party, he was bad at being president.
Mm.
But it was a tough time. Civil War, yada, yada.
Tough. True. All right. Today is also the birthday of the U.S. Army, founded
yes,
on
is.
This date in 1775.
Yep.
Of the branches of the U.S. Armed Forces, which is the youngest?
Is this another trick question?
I don't think so. He's not. Bonewald's saying it's not a trick question.
Because like there isn't some weird thing where the Marines didn't technically separate out or something.
No.
So it is the Air Force.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah, but I mean that's also like, Chris, what year did the War of 1812 start? I mean, they didn't have planes until for a minute.
Oh, so are you saying that you want your trivia questions to be
No.
I think that's what
No.
Is that what you heard him say?
No. We're going to go back to, please name the county in which the presidential assassination attempt took place. Yes,
okay.
I know. No.
We can try one of those.
No.
All right. Well, thank you for your thoughtfulness, and especially if you haven't signed up for a halftime report to get in your inbox in the afternoons. It really is like an afternoon treat.
And can I say one other thing before you kick me off the podcast, which is I believe that if more people in media and politics modeled your conduct of principled, kind-hearted disagreement and advocacy, this would be a better place to be, and that you would provide a great role model for people who are communicators and also for people who are in the media world, that you don't have to be a pushover in order to be respectful, kind, thoughtful, and patriotic.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Well, I think that there are a lot of – I think that most people are like us. I do. But there are a few that get that are very loud. See, I'm even trying to be nice in my
even in even in. Yes, quite so.
All right. For more podcasts, go to foxnewspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this one on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Leave us a review. This has been Perino and Starwalt. I'll tell you what, on Fox News Radio.